I want to start off by reading Psalm or Deuteronomy 32. You can just listen to this. Deuteronomy 32, verse 1 through 3. This is Moses, his words of song. He says, "Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. May my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, like gentle rain upon the tender grass and like showers upon the herb. For I will proclaim the name of the Lord and ascribe greatness to our God." There is so much talk and there's so much chatter in this world. And so much of it just wastes away. It's like rain on the windshield, just flies off. But then there's real substance that is poured out. And that substance always has the source of God's word in some way or fashion. You know, it can always make its way back to God's word. And so I pray for this next 30 minutes or so that God would allow his word to water us. Sometimes to till our hearts, because I feel that it tilled mine, that it's going to till yours. But like a gentle farmer and a wise farmer, he knows what he's doing. And I pray that the Lord would bless it and that everyone here, all of us, would give ear for the glory of God is about to be proclaimed. Turn to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, we're continuing our study through the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 1, verse 40 through 45. Mark chapter 1, verse 40 through 45. Now hear God's word. "And a leper came to him," that is Jesus, "imploring him and kneeling and said to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.' Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I will be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them.' But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in the desolate place, and people were coming to him from every quarter." This is God's word. I Googled this week how many churches are in the U.S., and who knows did the research, and who knows what they categorize as a church, but multiple statistics had upwards of 300,000 churches in the U.S., multiple denominations, but 300,000 plus churches that proclaim Jesus Christ, or at least identify as proclaiming Jesus Christ. That's 6,000 churches per state. And you know, that's not evenly distributed on small states like Rhode Island or Hawaii compared to California, but the idea is a lot is known in our day about Jesus. A lot of people, secular people, atheists, Christians, a lot is known about Jesus or know the name. But it was different in Mark's gospel. Mark is understood to be one of the first gospels written, that Luke and Matthew kind of had Mark sitting right there, the Gospel of Mark, and they were taking notes and saying, "I remember that. I'm going to develop that more, explain it from my angle." But Mark's goal was to introduce people to Jesus, what Jesus was like, what he did. And in this section, these five verses, Mark is depicting for us the situation where Jesus is met by a leper. And in this section, he's clearly going to show Jesus is powerful. The ability to cleanse a leper. And also, Jesus is very compassionate. And as we open up the history of what it meant to have leprosy, you'll see how compassionate Jesus is. But I'm going to argue that this passage that Mark put in here is not just to show us about Jesus, but also to reveal something about mankind, to reveal something very serious, very dangerous about us. See, Mark, I believe, and I'll show you in the argument, is showing us in this interaction with the leper the great problem of us misunderstanding Jesus and the 300,000 churches around the country that often have an issue with misunderstanding who Jesus is. Yes, we know him, but often we misunderstand him. Look at the argument of why I think this is so. One, Mark is known for sandwiching stories. Mark has less teachings of Jesus, less elongated, like Luke will cover long sections of Jesus' teaching. Mark gives us little snippets. These are like little Twitter feeds or Facebook posts of, look at this scenario, look at that scenario. And Mark organizes these, not chronologically always, but thematically to kind of prove a point, to pop in and lay out an argument for us. Mark, as we talked about last week, just declared that Jesus came, and yes, he was working many miracles, but his priority was what? Preaching and teaching the word of God. Then he's going to have this interaction with the leper, but in chapter 2, he's going to have the healing of the paralytic. And what's the point of that? Jesus says, I healed this man so that you will know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins. So early on, Mark is declaring Jesus came to preach the gospel. Then after this leper scenario, he's going to say Jesus came not just to heal, but the healing is to show that he has the power to forgive sins, that he's the Son of God. Now, this leper scenario, it's an amazing healing, but Jesus already just spent night and day healing in the previous chapter. Mark just talked about the whole city brought their sick and their demon-possessed, and Jesus was, you're healed, and casting out demons. It's amazing. Yes, the healing and the miracle of what Jesus does here is amazing, and we do need to look at it. But it's not the main point. Mark's already covered that. He even tells us right down here in verse 45 that after he told the leper, he sternly charged him to be quiet, to not tell this. Mark says the result. He says, but he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town. Jesus had to go out to desolate places where people could come. And right before that, Jesus said, in the previous passage, he said, I came so that I can go to these towns and preach the gospel. So Mark is showing us something here. Jesus, by the working of his miracles, becomes a celebrity, famous. Justin Bieber, your favorite athlete, Tom Brady, whoever it is, he's become a celebrity, and people are flocking to him all over the place, and it's hindering his ministry. And he's going to show us that it's because people didn't understand. The main point in here is that the leper disobeyed. The leper misunderstood who Jesus was and what Jesus was about. And it caused issue with Jesus. Mark, I think, is showing us that this was a problem even back then when the people that knew about Jesus was relatively small. And it's a major problem right now when the people that know about Jesus is very big. I watched a sermon the other night. A guy very popular with a huge following. And he preached through a passage in 2 Samuel. And he took one word out of that entire passage and just went off it on a complete tangent. And the people were so passionate. And that's regularly what this guy does with the scriptures. And he was focusing on the healing, that Jesus heals. And he wants everybody to follow and give up everything so that they too can go and heal. And healing's great. Healing is good. But it's not what Jesus was about. They misunderstood. And so many people misunderstand. I pray that we do not misunderstand. There's two parts to this message. One is we are going to look at the power and compassion of Jesus. It's clearly there. Mark does want us to see it. But second, we're going to look at, more importantly, the misunderstanding of Jesus. And if you look at scripture, scripture all over the place tells us why it's there. Like, you ever look on a medicine bottle and it tells you, like, this deals with headaches, this relieves pain, this relieves itching, this takes away dizziness. The scriptures do that for us too. It tells us why it's given to us. John, if you remember, he said, I wrote this thing so that you may know that Jesus is the Son of God. In 2 Timothy, it tells us that this is written so that we may be instructed, corrected, rebuked. It also says in scripture, these things were written, Paul says to the Corinthians, so that we may be encouraged and have hope. So I pray that through the hearing of this, we may be encouraged. We may build up hope in the real Jesus. We may be corrected where we have also misunderstood Jesus. And that we may have laser focus at the end of this in being interested in pursuing the things that Jesus really was interested in wanting to pursue. First, looking at the power and compassion of Jesus. A leper comes to Jesus. This is back in that day, leprosy was a skin disease. It could apply to eczema. It could apply to ringworm. It could also apply to what we have images in our mind of leprosy, where the skin and the nerve endings actually become very numb, and they can actually start to rot and decay. There's a story of a missionary that went to this foreign country, and he was serving in a leprosy colony. And he had a key to a lock to a shed that he couldn't get undone. And he was trying really hard. And a little boy, maybe 13 years old, walks up. And the kid was, described him as small and just barely any muscle hanging off the bone. And the boy said, let me try. And he grabbed the key and he turned it. And the missionary was like, how did you do that? What strength that this kid had. And then he looked down and there was blood all over the keys and blood all over the lock. And the kid's hand was totally torn apart. This little boy that had leprosy, they don't feel pain. So our body, pain is a good thing. It tells us to stop when danger's coming. The little boy didn't have any nerves that would tell him to stop. So he turned it so hard that it ripped his flesh. Leprosy is a disturbing disease. And because Luke also gives this description, we believe that this passage is talking about that kind of severe leprosy, that it covers the person. This is an issue that was very prominent in the Old Testament and during Jesus' time. The scriptures talk about it. God gave the Israelites direction on how to deal with leprosy. Leviticus 13 and 14 talks significantly about it. I'm just going to turn there, Leviticus 13. And there were rules about how a leper was to handle themselves. Having had leprosy. Scripture says that the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean! Unclean! He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. And the disease was not regularly curable. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. One commentator wrote that leprosy was basically a physical and spiritual contamination of one. It was a dead man walking. And you know, it's interesting. In the past, we have, as Americans in this time and age and other people, have a hard time explaining to people the significance of a leper and Jesus interacting with it because we had nothing to relate to it. Now we do. Face masks, unclean. It was even in the Old Testament traditions, you remain 6 feet apart. And even further, you had to remain 100 cubits apart if you were upwind of anybody else because there was fear of catching it. Anytime you touch a leprous person, you're considered ceremoniously unclean. If a leper out in the wilderness by himself grew tired and lay down and put his head on a rock, that rock is now unclean. Whenever that leprous person, he had to tear his clothes. He had to look ragged to show the raggedness and the uncleanness of himself. and live in isolation. And we're not talking about just a man that nobody knows. We're talking about your father waking up in the morning and you hear him talking with your mom and you hear panic in their voices. And you walk in the door, a child walks in the door and says, "What's wrong?" And he looks down and his dad is showing his mom a white spot on his wrist. And there's the panic. What does this mean? What's the future? And this dad, it grows. And now he's got to go outside of the city. Outside, who's going to work? Who's going to father the children? He's gone. He's isolated. He's destitute. He's outside. And actually, the rabbis, taking it further, they said, they said it was told that they would throw rocks at these people to make sure that they stayed away, that they wouldn't become unclean. They didn't have compassion on them. They wanted purity. So they taught these, they treated these lepers as lepers. That's why we say, have the phrase, they're like a leper. Nobody would go near them. We now understand this. What it's like to have something that you're fearful that others are going to get. When I had COVID beginning of December. And there was a panic about not wanting to go around other people. I felt it. What are other people, do they know I have leprosy? Like, do they know I have COVID? And wearing masks. And if somebody, you're out in public, somebody sneezes. Do you ever just, we get it. But it was a person that felt the isolation and the destitution. This is the case. And Mark says that this leper, though, in verse 40, comes to Jesus, imploring of this leper. He puts aside the laws and the regulations. He has no hope in the world. In Scripture, in the Old Testament, you don't hear of any prophets healing leprosy themselves with the touch. God worked through Elijah to tell Naaman, or to tell the general to go be cleared. But it was God who, through the washing, did it. Leprosy wasn't something regularly cleared. And it was also known and understood that leprosy was a sign of sin, personal sin. They had it because they had sinned against God. But this leper, in complete destitution, having heard of Jesus because of all of Jesus' healings, goes to Jesus and he falls upon him and he begs for mercy. He implores him. Person who is destitute and without hope finds Christ, hears of Christ, and goes to him and implores him. And one pastor said, you can apply this to the alcoholic. You can apply this to the sexual impure person. You can apply this to the greedy person. You can apply this to any one of our sins that make us feel isolated, that identify us as unclean, without hope, guilty, full of shame. This is us, and this shows us what we need to do. Recognize that Jesus is our only hope and go and fall before him. In that day, falling on your knees was a sign of showing that you recognize that this person is greater than I. And you can take your sins and your need and your destitution and go fall before Christ. He did the right thing. We are called to pray. How often do you pray for help? How often do you pray for healing? How often do you implore God like this leper for your needs? Scripture is full of prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. 1 Chronicles 16:7 says, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face always. Ephesians 6:17-18 says, praying at all times in the Spirit with prayer and supplications. James 5:13 says, if anyone among you is in trouble, let them pray. Saints, whatever your need is, however much the world says you're dissolute, that you're cut off, that you're unclean, that there's no hope for you, there is hope in Jesus. You have to fall before him and ask. And look at what Jesus does. What is Jesus' response? Well, he doesn't throw rocks like the rabbis. Jesus hears him. He hears him. He lets him come to him. And it's very interesting, the question that this man asks. What does he ask? He doesn't say, Jesus, can you heal me too? I heard you've been casting out demons. I've heard you've been healing the disease. No, he doesn't say that. He says, I know you can. Will you? Saints, that's the question that most of us have all the time. We know, as followers of Christ, that Jesus can do all things, that he can meet our needs, that he can clarify what step to take next. But most of us doubt, will you? And we live in that doubt. When my oldest son was born with significant special needs, I remember the first 2 years I was numb. I was absolutely numb to God. I was in undergrad with a Bible degree. I was pursuing ministry, but I was numb to God. I was somewhat afraid of God. I didn't doubt God. It wasn't God's fault that my son had special needs. I knew that sin is in the world. It's a reality. But will he protect me? I felt like I was vulnerable to everything that was going to happen. This God is powerful and mighty, but he let this happen. How can I trust that he will do anything about any of my issues? Saints, that's our response to God. That's how we feel. And if you feel that way, look at how Jesus responds to this leper. Jesus has pity on him. And he stretched out his hand and touched him. And a commentator reading this, the Greek word in there isn't just touch, like, oh, you're healed. He took hold of him. He grasped him. And imagine for a person who's been isolated, ostracized. Imagine for a person that has been withholding a secret for months or years, that if anybody else knew, they would ridicule them and they'd alienate them and toss them out of the town. But imagine when they came clean and for Jesus to grab you and hold you tight. What a beautiful thing. That's what he does in our sin and in our brokenness and with our great need to anybody, to us who are already saved. He does that also to the unbeliever who's been rebellious. Paul persecuted and dragged women and children and men to prisons because they believed in Jesus. But when Paul repented, God was there and he grabbed him. Interesting, Jesus has great compassion and pity upon those who don't deserve it. Two wonderful things that we got to see by Jesus doing this. One, Jesus is showing his identity as the Son of God. When John the Baptist's disciples come, and they know that the Great One is coming, the Messiah is coming, John doesn't see Jesus doing the things that he expected the Messiah to do. So he sends two of his disciples to Jesus and says, are you the one, the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of the world that's going to transform everything? Or should we look for another? Because it doesn't look like you're transforming everything in the way I expected. And Jesus says, I am. I know I'm not doing things the way, paraphrase, I know I'm not doing things the way that you expect, John. But look at this. The blind see, the diseased are healed, and the lepers are made clean. Jesus is showing that he is the Christ. Mark is showing that he is the Christ, that he's the one. Secondly, Jesus is also showing that he's the replacement for our sin. Jesus, by touching the leper, becomes unclean. The scriptures in Leviticus 13 and 14 declare anybody that touches a leper who is unclean becomes unclean themselves, ceremoniously unclean. And so Jesus didn't do something wrong here. What he did is he willingly and humbly and graciously made himself unclean. He took on the uncleanness of the leper himself. And that's what Paul is showing us in 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus bore our uncleanness. He humbled himself, was in the place of God, and came down out of the heaven into this world, took on our sin. and was crucified on the cross for it. So if you feel alienated, if you feel ostracized, know the depth that your Savior will go to bring you back into the fold. That leper was made clean, and he could go back to his family. He could go back to his home. He could hug his children. The result was that he was clean. Come and believe. Ask in Jesus, and he will heal you. Now, this is where we have to talk about God's providence and God's will. He will either heal you or meet your need, or he will give you the grace to endure it. God always answers our prayer when we come to him. It might not be the way we are, but not only can he, but he will. It might not be the way that we like. Again, I just had this experience 2 days ago. My son Ethan was driving my wife and I up the wall, absolutely up the wall. He's turned 11. It's a challenge daily in multiple different ways. And my wife was talking about at the beach, it's just hard to keep up with him, and it almost brings her to tears because you can see the other wives and the moms being able to sit on the sand and talk to each other while the other kids are just playing, even little kids, and she can't sit and talk. And it's a real struggle. And it's a struggle for me to see her like that. But the other day, Ethan was coming down the stairs, and I just saw him, and joy filled my heart because I know I would not understand God's grace in the same way if it had not been for him. God might not take away your pain or your scars or your issues, but he will help you and bless you through them. That is what God is like. God always hears those who call upon him. So that is the power and compassion of Jesus that is readily available to us. Number two, the misunderstanding of Jesus. The misunderstanding of Jesus that Mark is making so clear, and I think today you and I need to hear this, and the whole church needs to hear this so importantly. Mark is split up into two different sections. Chapter 1 through 8 is focused on Jesus being identified as the Son of God. He's working all these miracles. He's talking like God. God is declaring him to be the Son of God. Chapters 9 through 16 is Jesus showing the people that he's got to suffer for sin. So first section, proving Jesus is the Son of God. Second section, half of the book, that Jesus has to suffer for sin. There's also two things that Mark is teaching us that was a problem in their day and a problem in our day. Section one is that people don't understand Jesus. They keep misunderstanding Jesus. The second half of the book, people don't understand why Jesus has to suffer. He's the Messiah. He was supposed to come in and take over Rome. Come in riding on a mighty chariot and destroy Rome, destroy all other nations. The Israelites would rise up and there would be peace in the land forever. And they didn't understand it. So in section one, they don't understand. You can see this all throughout Scripture. Jesus heals so many and he's famous. And Peter and James and John and Andrew come to him and say, Jesus, you did it. We're awesome in Capernaum. Everybody loves us because you healed. Why are you out here in the wilderness? Because I came to preach and teach. Jesus heals the paralytic and tells them your sins are forgiven. And the Pharisees are like, why are you saying this? You shouldn't be saying this. And Jesus says, so you'd know the Son of Man has the ability to forgive sins. Jesus is invited back to Matthew's house, who's a tax collector, and Jesus has a meal with tax collectors and sinners, and the Pharisees are, why are you eating with them? This doesn't make sense. And Jesus says, I didn't come for the righteous, but for the unrighteous. Jesus is eating heads of grain on the Sabbath. People are like, why are you eating? Because the Sabbath is for man, and man not for Sabbath. Why don't you wash your hands before you eat? They didn't. Why? Because they misunderstood him. One commentator said everybody had an idea, a plan for Jesus, even before Jesus showed up on the scene. You and I have plans for Jesus. And you know what? Sometimes that's not his plan. Oftentimes, that is not his plan. this leper comes to Jesus. He's heard about Jesus. What has he heard about Jesus? Not that Jesus is bringing a new teaching. Not that Jesus is declaring that the kingdom of God is at hand. This leper heard that he heals. And he comes and he finds hope, which is right. This is where hope is. But Jesus said, that's not the only reason why I came. I came so I can preach to the people. And so Jesus sternly charges him, it says in verse 43. That word is also used in other words in its root to rebuke. Jesus is like, I'm going to heal you, but don't tell anybody. Instead, go present yourself to the priest as Moses commanded you, according to the law. Jesus hasn't outdone the law at this time, those laws, until he dies and ascends. Those laws were still in hand. Jesus isn't overthrowing everything. Jesus is fulfilling the law. And he says, don't you tell, but what does the leper do? Leper disobeys. He doesn't heed Jesus' command. Jesus sternly told him. And he rebels. Now, this leper, as he goes about, he's telling everybody, he's got Jesus' biggest fan. He would even defend people who were talking bad about Jesus. Jesus healed me. Jesus, it's awesome. He would identify him as a disciple of Jesus, as a follower of this great man. But he doesn't obey him. He came for the blessing. But he didn't respond in obedience. He wanted the benefits of Jesus, but he didn't want the commands of Jesus. He thinks Jesus is a well, a fortune well, that brings blessing and healing and benefit and protection. He didn't understand that Jesus has commands. He has laws. He has teachings that he needs to obey. All throughout Scripture, imagine, what are we told? Why couldn't Jesus go into the towns? Because of the crowds. The crowds were impeding upon him. Everybody was touching him, wanted to be healed. Who wanted to say, Jesus, can we talk about this heaven thing? Can we talk about forgiveness of sin? Jesus got so mad later on. He said, all you guys want is signs. You want miracles. That the leper's going to die again. The paralytic's going to lose the ability of his arms and legs with age. Jesus has more. People misunderstand what Jesus is about. This pastor I was talking about, he misunderstood what Jesus was about. Jesus is about healings. You know what else we misunderstand Jesus about? That Jesus wants to give America a government that's going to perfectly protect the church and cause Christianity to rule and everybody obey. We are going to legislate the kingdom into God, the America into the kingdom. If we can make laws against same-sex marriage, nobody will be gay. This is what we want. Scripture says, pray in everything, rejoice all the time. There's a part of me that very much so rejoices that Donald Trump didn't win. Because the idolatry of our misunderstanding of what Jesus has bring has been exposed. Saints, this came very hard. This week, I had two pastors come to me so panicked because their congregation and even themselves of what's going on in America and the state and the relationship to the church and how that directly corresponds with the church. One said, we're going to lose our nonprofit status. Our tithes are not going to be tax deductible. If you tithe because you get a tax deduction, keep your dirty money. God doesn't want it. Church, I've been in multiple churches. At the end of the year, that's when the giving comes. Keep your money. God does not want it. Where does it say that anywhere? Read the Gospels. Where does it say that Jesus' plan was to take over the world by nations, by kingdoms, by rulers? If he did that, he would not have called fishermen to be his leaders or sleazy tax collectors like Matthew to be his people. He would have called governors and princes and kings. Who cares where it doesn't affect where the government goes, does not affect the gospel going forward. Actually, God told us that this wasn't going to work this way. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul talking to the Corinthians. He says, listen, God is using the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Paul even goes, consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you are wise according to worldly standards. Not many of you are powerful. Not many of you are of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God did not choose presidents of the United States to usher in the kingdom. That's not how he works. That doesn't affect it. God is choosing you and me, the lowly, the ignorant, the uneducated. The gospel. It's a message. He says the gospel transforms lives. Legislation doesn't. There should be no fear about who is president in this, or senator, or anything. The gospel goes forward. And Jesus would be very, I think, mad at the way we have responded. The Christian church has responded to what is taking place in our society. We have a misunderstanding of what Jesus has offered. The leper's issue was not his leprosy. Leprosy is not our issue. Your problems, earthly problems, are not your issue. Sin is your issue. And Jesus conquered that. Jesus took care of it on the cross. It is taken care of. It's done. It doesn't matter who's in power. That is our greatest need. All other needs, even body, even protection, even health, is secondary to what Jesus has already done. The kingdom is going forward. And we miss that. I think we really, really miss that. We are concerned with God saving a nation, rituals, rules, favor, having favoritism, benefits, than saving our neighbors. They took prayer out of the public schools years ago. But they never legislated that they can take prayers out of our homes. And how many of us don't pray? We want government to control and censor unbiblical teaching and sin in media and in our societies. But we bring it into our homes with the internet and the movies we watch. We have a misunderstanding of what our real problem is and where Jesus is really the ruler. He's ruler in our hearts. He's ruler in our hearts, and nothing can take that away. Paul wasn't concerned one bit that he was imprisoned in Rome. He wasn't frustrated that Caesar wasn't a believer and didn't have a biblical rule. I'm just harping at Jesus says, I will heal you, now obey. Saints, we need to obey. Read Scripture. Understand Scripture. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and in spiritual songs. Pray for one another daily. Grow in grace. Learn His Word. Preach the Word. Be ready in season, out of season. Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Honor those who are in political leadership over you. Humble yourself. When somebody treats you unjustly, deal with it. Don't respond. Love your neighbor. Preach the word. I feel like many of us, myself included, have been healed from Jesus and then ran away. And to the world, it looks like we are his biggest fans because we're saying, Jesus, Jesus, awesome. Jesus, my Bible, Jesus is awesome. He's a healer. He's a savior. I go to church. But we're not obeying his commands. We're not obeying his commands. We need to obey all of his commands. And get this, when we don't, when we just focus on the misunderstanding of Jesus as a political savior who's going to usher in and bring in a president that's going to protect us or governments, or Jesus as the one who only heals, and we go telling everybody about that, it has a negative effect on our ability to be witnesses to Jesus in the right way. it affect Jesus, he could no longer go into the cities. There is a negative effect. It is hard to talk to somebody. I have many people in my lives and my family that have grabbed on to this some misunderstanding of Jesus as political leader or Jesus as only healer. That when I start talking to them about, no, you need to obey Jesus, it just goes over the wind, over their shoulder. We can have a major negative impact. And Mark is describing that for us here. Jesus is the Son of God. Everybody back then was confused of why Jesus was doing the way he thinks. You want to know what Jesus, God's will is for us in America right now? We're in it. This is his will. And his will for you and I has not changed. Preach the gospel. Believe the gospel. Obey the gospel. Let us do this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would preach in our hearts a better sermon that was just preached this week with these texts and these things. Don't let us move on. Let us search the scriptures to see what is said is true, like the Bereans. Let us search our hearts to see if there may be any misunderstanding of the Jesus. If we see in the scriptures a brokenness between what we think God, Jesus came for and what your scripture tells us he actually came for, I pray that you would clarify that and help us to still humbly come to him and fall and implore, because he is the only one that can clean us, make us clean. Lord, thank you for making us clean. Continue to sanctify us by your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We have this great opportunity.